Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of Presque Parisien. I'm Kelly, your co-host, and I'm joined today with Delara, our other co-host.
Bonjour tout le monde. So today we are at Café Chez Pierre in Kelly's neighborhood. Mm-hmm. We wanted to make sure that we're somewhere close to her so that she can get out for a little bit. But it's a lovely little cafe. The staff is amazing. Mm-hmm. They let us record here. The kitchen is not open yet. We're going to eat later. But it's a lovely place in Kremlin-Bicêtre.
So today, Delara, we will be talking about quite a fun topic, and I know it's one that you've been looking forward to. We're going to talk about pets.
Yay!
This episode is particularly interesting for people who live with their fur babies and would like to move to or travel to Paris, or maybe for those who are interested in adopting one. We'll talk about things like if Paris is a pet-friendly city, how do you rent apartments with pets, or the cliche of the old Parisians not picking up their dog poo. Honestly though, I think that the only reason that we're doing this episode is because Delara just wants to talk about her cat. And actually it was Delara that made me say fur babies at the start of this. And you know what, Delara, you get one. Okay, I'm not saying that again. But I think this is going to be like quite a light-hearted episode.
Yeah, I really wanted to do this episode on pets, or in French, animaux de compagnie. Which is such a lovely phrase. Instead of like just saying pets, yeah, it means companion animal, whom they really are. But yeah, anyways, I wanted to do this episode because ever since I adopted my cat Neptune, I became such a cat mom. He's completely changed me and transformed me in so many ways. So I always like look for an excuse to talk about him or animals in general. I secretly wish that he could listen to this right now.
Oh my God.
And it was his fourth birthday this week, so yeah, perfect timing.
Oh, happy birthday, Neptune, if you're listening.
Thank you. Okay, let's get into it then. Kelly, you don't have a fur baby.
No.
But I know that every now and then, like, you think about getting a dog. Mm. Since you live here, I assume you thought about if Paris is a pet-friendly city or not. What are your thoughts on this?
You know, I think, yes, in general, Paris is definitely a pet-friendly city. There's loads of parks and green spaces, and there's even, like, dog parks.
And I guess it goes without saying, you can also take your cat to these parks, although maybe not everyone does that, but Neptune is an exceptionally energetic cat, so when he was a kitten, I used to live in my little studio. It was just impossible to keep him entertained. He'd, like, break everything. People say like 10 minutes of playtime in the morning and 10 plays in the evening should be enough for cats. No, Neptune needed much more than that. So if you've got an energetic cat in Paris, these parks allow cats as well, just so you know. But they're rare to see.
Okay. So on top of parks, you can take your pets on public transport. Most cafes and restaurants will accept pets inside. Some supermarkets don't, but they do kindly leave like a little bowl of water or something outside. Yeah. I see people with like all kinds of breeds of dogs, and I often just wonder, I ask myself, like, how are you even living in a small Parisian apartment with a dog that size?
Yeah.
And then I realise that, okay, maybe they've got more space than me. Not everyone lives in such a small area as me. And you know, I have seen some beautiful dogs in this city. I've seen an Afghan hound for the first time, loads of Dalmatians, like Australian Shepherds are really popular.
Yeah.
And like, you know, I don't mean this to sound bad, but I think that there are some breeds that are kind of more sort of fashionable than others. I don't judge. If you want a cool looking dog as a bit of an accessory, then yeah, sure, have at it. But as long as you're taking care of that animal properly, then you know, that's the most important thing. But you know, you and your dog look freaking cool, like, it's fine.
Parisians, cool Parisians, but they're cool looking dogs.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So just one thing to be aware of here is that if you want to pet someone's dog, you absolutely must ask permission. You can't just walk up to a dog and start touching it. The owner will think you're very rude. So if you do want to touch someone's animal or dog or say hello, then always just engage with the owner first.
I think it's a universal thing. Unless you live somewhere with stray animals, I think it's all about consent, which I find perfectly fine.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Delara, this cliche that the streets of Paris are full of dog poo, what do you think?
Well, I'd say that's an exaggeration. I don't think that's the case. However, at the risk of like sounding a little bit ageist, I say this is probably a generational thing. I mean, I'm really sorry to say this, but I personally see a lot of elderly people, and again, at the risk of sounding sexist, especially elderly women,
right,
walking around with their like tiny little dogs, and unfortunately, they don't really pick up after their dogs. Like they don't pick up the poop. Like I've seen this happen. You can see these like fancy looking women, especially in the 16th arrondissement.
Always the 16th.
Yeah, it's the richest arrondissement of Paris, if you do not know. I mean, to be fair, I guess people get lonely with age and want a companion. So yeah, that's probably why I see mostly like elderly people with this, like having pets, but additionally with this kind of behavior.
You know, I think the dog poop cliche is also exaggerated, so I kind of agree with you. Yes, there is like shit on the street, right? But it's not exactly everywhere, you know? I see plenty of people doing their civic duty, picking up after their dogs. You do see it quite a lot. So, you know what? Like, I can, yeah, let's put this like disgusting cliche to rest. So now let's talk about the possible options of getting a pet in Paris, Dilara. I know that you have some. You have opinions.
As usual, I do, it's true. I'm all for adoption and not buying. I mean, there's so many unwanted animals out there, and the conditions of the animals at breeders are, in a way, horrible. I think there are two factors out there, though. Most people want a kitten or a puppy, okay? I also wanted a kitten, but I think it's easier for people who want cats because there are more kittens to adopt than puppies. Okay. And I think for people who want a dog, I believe they want a special breed most of the time. For example, I would love to adopt a pit bull, so I can understand those people. It's also the fact that some people's living conditions don't allow a particular kind of dog.
Yeah, like for example, I said at the top there, you know, I couldn't possibly have like a great big dog in my tiny studio apartment. It's just not fair to the animal.
Yeah.
And so I would have to go for a smaller breed as well. I also looked into how to adopt pets, and it feels like a pretty long process. I only looked at the SPA, which is like the most well-known animal shelter in France. You have to fill out like, well, surprise, surprise, you have to fill out a form, like administration everywhere. And then you'd need to wait to hear back from them. So there are more than like 100,000 pets abandoned each year, according to like the SPA. And so I kind of get why it's such a thorough process. They want to make sure these animals are going to the right place. You can also visit shelters, which I think shows your commitment to adopting. And either way, when they ask you to do a visit before adopting, whether you applied online or not. There's also a fee to adopt from the association, and these fees include like microchipping, which is obligatory now by law, and sometimes it may include vaccinations and or neutering. It's also some kind of donation, which is fair, and the fee changes from cat to dog and from puppy to adult dogs, or from kittens to adult cats as well. It ranges from €60, which are SOS pets, to €360. So we'll leave a link in the show notes showing you all this.
Honestly, the SOS ones are the ones that make me the most sad, because they're the ones that no one else wants. That's why they're sort of offered at a lower rate.
Yeah. You said that the conditions of the animals at the breeders are like horrible. Like, do you want to maybe elaborate on that a little bit? And if someone really wants to buy from a breeder, like, what should they look out for?
Well, I really don't want to overgeneralize. Some breeders may be good, I really don't know. But if you're looking for tips, I guess the first thing would be make sure that the breeder is making the necessary tests for the animals. I know someone who's lost their dog to a genetic disease because the parents were not tested.
Okay.
Visiting the breeder's place to see how the animals are treated is also an option. Look, like, I'm no saint here. I didn't get Neptune from an association. Just like many others, I decided to get a cat during the pandemic. I made an application to SPA. Just like you said, even filling out that form takes hell of a time.
Yeah.
Then I received an email saying that they had over 18,000 applications for adoption during the pandemic.
Wow.
So I was like, okay, I won't be able to get a cat from the shelter.
Mm-hmm.
I checked Le Bon Coin and realized it was full of breeders, like very sketchy ones, so maybe avoid that website for that. Then I joined many Facebook groups, and I think these are safe bets compared to Le Bon Coin.
Okay.
While still waiting, my ex, so there's this woman she follows on Instagram who shares lots of kittens on her stories. So we contacted her, and indeed she had lots of kittens. Sad part of the story, though, she was trying to breed Scottish Fold kittens for herself. You know those cats with folded ears? Mm-hmm. Yeah, Taylor Swift has one, I think.
Yeah, that's they're super cute.
Yeah. But they're a mutation and they shouldn't be bred as they have a genetic disease of cartilage. Anyway, so any kitten that didn't come out as a Scottish Fold, she wanted to get rid of.
Mm.
Neptune was one of them. And Neptune's dad is an orange Scottish Fold and his mom is a grey European cat.
Mm-hmm.
So he came out as this like black kitten. Now he has yellow eyes and he's pretty big for our regular like European black cats.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why he's like that. He's a mix. And because his mother was so tired of giving birth, she easily eliminates kittens who were not doing so well. Some of them died.
Oh no.
Yes, Neptune was one of them. He didn't die, obviously, but he was like left alone in a room all by himself.
Aww.
So I got him when he was 7 weeks old, which is too young, as they still need to feed off from their mom, and their mom is the one to teach them how to be a cat.
Mm-hmm.
So that, I think that's also why Neptune's a bit weird as well. But it's also why I formed this bond with him, as I became his mom. That also explains why he's very weird. But like, he used to when he was a baby, and he still does, like, suckle on my neck.
Yeah.
Such a bonding experience.
So, since we discussed the options around adopting and buying, I think we should also mention here that as of 2024, it's now illegal for pet shops to sell cats and dogs.
Yes.
They can still sell snakes and birds, fish, other reptiles, rabbits and rodents. And this is actually a part of the law that passed back in 2021. But as every administrative process takes pure ages, then putting a law in place, you know, coming into effect does take a bit of time. But it's but it's getting there.
Yeah, yeah. I think now this year that law also passed to prevent impulse buying, given the amount of animals that are being abandoned each year in France. It's like, our marriage is not working, let's make a baby. Mm. Our kids are not happy, let's get them a toy, which is a pet.
Mm-hmm.
People get pets without fully comprehending like the responsibilities that come with it and treat these animals, who are of course dependent on them, as if they're objects. It really disgusts me, honestly. Like, I really have a lot of opinions on this. And there's also a cost factor to put into account. Mm. I spent about $2,000 on Neptune on, like, the first couple of months I adopted him. Because you have to buy everything from scratch. And because he was sick all the time, the vet visits really added up.
Oh, really? Like, is there not, like, some kind of health insurance for pets?
Yeah, there are. It's not, like, Sécurité Sociale. There are private ones. I got it for him because you know the story with his dad being Scottish Fold, mm-hmm. and my ex-girlfriend's dog had cancer at that time too,
right.
Which like a lot of pet visits, so I wanted to take the right precautions.
Mm-hmm.
I cancelled the insurance after a year because it ended up like costing me more than saving me money, so I don't recommend these services.
Well, okay.
When they're older it helps for big surgeries and stuff, but when they're younger it just doesn't like make sense. Currently, Neptune costs me about 1,000 to 1,500 euros a year, depending on if he's sick or not.
Okay, and what does that include then?
Well, his food. He gets dry nibbles and canned food every day. All of these are grain and cereal free. I did like a lot of research, so I don't shop supermarket food or even some well-known brands. I don't do that. I find them all rubbish, but it's up to your choice, obviously. I mean, what you eat defines your health and like having good quality, like good quality lifespan. I have the same philosophy for myself, so for my cat as well. Yeah, he's a bit spoiled. I buy all his food, utensils, litter, and sometimes toys at Zoo Plus.
Mm-hmm.
I'll put it in the show notes. Then there is his yearly vaccinations, and he's a super active cat, so he gets into accidents. Then that makes more vet visits.
Mm-hmm.
My vet is the best, honestly. Although I moved further away from him, I don't live there anymore, I still take it to him. He's not that nice to me, to be honest. Like, sometimes, like, when I arrive, he just says, venez, madame, without even, like, saying bonjour, which is very rare for a French person.
Yeah.
But when he sees Neptune, his attitude completely changes. He's like, oh là là, quel beau gosse, qu'est-ce qu'il y a aujourd'hui, qu'est-ce que tu fais là? Like, he starts, like, mimicking, like, baby sounds and stuff. So that's all I care about, you know. Yeah. He's amazing with my cats and he's reasonably priced. I'll put his contact on the show notes as well. Again, this is not an advertisement. So more costs. There's the quarterly vermifuge, which is like the warming pill, and then the monthly antipus. I think that's the anti-flea medicine.
Mm-hmm.
Neptune is short-haired, so he doesn't need grooming, but he gets his claws trimmed every month or so. He's not declawed. He is just like you cutting his nails. And for that, I go to Chez Michette, an amazing pet supply store in the 11th, owned by an Iranian family. I'd recommend them with eyes closed.
Mm.
So yeah, it all these costs obviously add up. Okay, Kitty.
Yeah.
After having heard all of this, where do you stand with getting a dog for yourself?
Yeah, I would love, honestly, I would love to get a little dog. I've given it a lot of consideration and like, I'll explain a little my reasons why like I want one, but why ultimately I'll probably decide not to get one. So yeah, living alone in like a small apartment is hard, right? And I've been single for like a really long time and I kind of thought to myself, well, you know, Kelly, the boyfriend thing's not working out. And, you know, I kind of have a lot of love and affection to give something and I thought like a little funny companion would have been what I needed.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to say go back to what you said about being elderly and lonely and having to get myself a cat.
Did
because
I just trigger you?
Yeah, a little. Because because I can't find love.
But may I interrupt you there?
Yes, of course.
I'm sorry, like I love Jeremy, I love my boyfriend. That's a different kind of love. The love for animal is like Neptune really opened up a different space that I didn't exist in my heart. And like it's really a different kind of love.
Yeah. I'd found a breed that I wanted and I picked out some names as well. It's just a thing I want to point out here is that giving your dog a name has a rule. Did you know about this rule?
What rule?
So each year has a letter that your dog's name has to start with.
Oh.
So for example, 2024 is the letter V. So if I registered ownership of a dog, that dog by law would require to have a name starting with the letter V. Because it shows the year of registration.
I knew about this, but I didn't know it was like by law requirement.
Yeah, isn't that mad? So I mean, it's not a deal breaker, but it does limit your options. But then I was thinking maybe some people use this as a excuse to like give their dog like a first name and a second name. So for example, I could have like a little Valerie Baudelaire, for example. You know, that would be like the name of my little dog. You know, or something. But
very fancy name. Then.
Yes. So, you know, anyway, like thinking about this, I decided, right, okay, I don't really have an awful lot of structure in my day. I don't really have a routine to follow. I work from home a lot and I find it difficult to discipline myself and get up early, go out exercising, especially during the winter. I found this really difficult. And I kind of thought like a dog might be able to force a bit of a lifestyle change for me. I then recognised that this was me probably struggling a little bit with my mental health and looking just for some kind of stability. And I really had to consider a lot of other factors. My physical health hasn't really been great, like this month or a couple of months ago, and I couldn't imagine like being bedridden or sick and then having the responsibility of taking a dog out on top of that as well. I don't want to pick up warm poo. I'm sorry, I just don't. And also like the financial aspect was something to consider. So like, you know, after I bought my flat, and then there's also like the taking away the freedom to travel. You know, regardless, I'm sure there's lots of options, but it does make it a little bit more complicated.
Sure.
You know, speaking of that, we do this in many of our episodes, let's talk about the rules.
Yeah.
So, Dilara, what are the rules around traveling with pets in and around France? Because like I know for a fact that Neptune has been traveling with you a few places.
Yeah, true, he traveled more than some of my Turkish friends as he has a European passport. He is a privileged cat, but it's also because I've got a European passport and I travel a lot. But let's keep that cynical joke in there, don't edit that out. So, to travel in France, it's super easy. If you're taking the train at SNCF, you just purchase a ticket for your pet, which is €7 at the moment. And depending on the size, either they're in a carrier or they travel with you on a leash. If it's a plane, rules change and you have to check on the airline's website. But it's mostly really if they fit a certain size carrier. Now, to travel within Europe, your pet needs to have a passport, to have their vaccinations up to date, and to go to a vet before the trip, as the vet puts some kind of a stamp on their passport to clear your pet for traveling. And if you'll be taking your pet outside of the EU, then things change. Neptune's been to Istanbul already. It's not really about taking them outside of the EU. They don't really care about that part. It's getting them back in.
Okay.
The borders, right?
Mm.
You know, back in the pandemic, we had the paperwork to prove that we had the COVID vaccine. So it's similar to that for cats and dogs. You need to prove that they had a rabies vaccine and there are antibodies in their blood.
Okay.
But the vaccination proof is not enough. So they ask for a blood test. And this blood test does take some time, so definitely plan it in advance. It's also pretty expensive. Back in 2021, I paid 200 euros for it.
What?
And he had to go through anesthesia because they get the blood from his neck. So they shaved him as well. But now that's done, if I get him vaccinated for rabies every year before a certain date, that paperwork is valid for life. So I don't have to do every time again.
Okay.
This info is also useful for people who are planning on moving to France with pets. Check if you need this test. Rules may change depending on where you're coming from. And again, I can't stress this enough. Do plan this in advance.
Mm.
And if you're not planning on taking your pet with you while you're traveling, I use the website called robber.com, which is like, I think, an English website, but it works in France as well. And two of my cat sitters I found through that website, and it works really well. And yeah, so that there is that option too if you don't want to travel with your animal.
Okay, maybe pop that link on the show notes as well.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, so the rules around traveling are one thing. Let's talk about the rules about living with a pet, or renting a flat with a pet. So by law, like, your landlord can't ban you from having pets in your flat. Now, I guess we can debate what a pet is and what it's not, but by law, there are some animals included in this category and some are not. So we'll leave a link to the show notes for this definition. Mm-hmm. So I think this is kind of a difference between, like, dogs and cows. Like, I think that's what we're talking about here. Unfortunately, some dog species are also in this category noted as dangerous dogs. So for example, Delara, you said that you wanted a pit bull. Well, your landlord can say that that's not allowed in your apartment.
Those dogs are so misunderstood, it really breaks my heart. It's really not about the breed, but the person who raised them. But anyways.
100% agree, absolutely. Yeah. So as we discussed in our Rent in Paris episode, agencies and landlords can do some sketchy things to the lease. So they can simply say something like no pets allowed as like part of the lease, but it's actually not allowed, it's like illegal. So let's say you rented your apartment and then you've got a pet without telling your landlord. And honestly, you don't really have to inform them. If the landlords insist on evicting you, they can't do it. If you're in this situation, then we'll leave another link to a pretty good reel that explains like the law.
I never had this problem, but yes, as we mentioned a million times in our ranting episode, you always have to know these kind of things in order to push back, or I'll take it even further, fight back when you're ranting in Paris.
Yeah.
I guess another topic that we can mention are the associations in France for animal rights. I'll be super honest with you, I don't know much about them except for SPA, which we mentioned multiple times now.
Mm-hmm.
My company allows me some volunteering days so I can go and volunteer somewhere, and I looked into some of these associations and there are so many actually.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
After having read the stories of the animals in these shelters and crying for a ridiculous amount of time, I said to myself, no, I can't really do it. I mean, like, I just cannot volunteer.
Mm.
But you can always donate. And the good thing is that for some of these associations, when you make a donation, you get a reduction from your taxes.
Okay.
So if you make a donation for SPA, let's say, about 100 euros, you actually end up paying 36 euros. Right. And it's similar with Fondation 3 Millions d'Amis. You don't get reimbursed immediately though, so you need to pay the donation and then they send you a bill which you can submit on impots.gouv.fr while you're declaring your taxes. I donate to SPA every year, and I know it really does sound like it's complicated. I promise you it's not. Like, this is actually a simple thing.
So before we close off this episode, do you want to talk a bit about the cultural differences when it comes to having a pet?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll start. The UK is like really well known to be a nation of animal lovers. Like, our pets are like part of our family. Obviously, the way you speak about Neptune, you completely feel the same way. Unfortunately, this isn't the case in all countries. In the UK, the main animal welfare bodies are the RSPCA and the SSPCA, so the Royal / Scottish Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, respectively. So these are separate, and they're not at all affiliated with each other. There's the Royal Society and there's the Scottish Society.
Mm-hmm.
But they both work to enforce the Animal Welfare Act in 2006, like across the country, across Scotland, England, Wales and Northern Ireland. They work to prosecute offenders of animal cruelty, basically. So there's also other bodies like the Battersea Cats and Dogs, Donkey Sanctuary, Cats Protection League. I found a list of like about 34 animal welfare organisations just based in the UK alone, and most of them are funded by the public, like with no government aid whatsoever. So that just kind of shows you how much people want to give to these animals.
Amazing.
The animal welfare movement in the UK was started back in the 19th century. I can't help but throw in a bit of history here, I'm sorry. back in 1822 by a guy called Richard Martin. He had campaigned against the mistreatment of animals in agriculture. So I'll put a little link to that history of him and about the formation of the current day RSPCA. So the UK also had some hysteria around the dangerous dogs problem back in the 90s and early 2000s. Delara, you mentioned this earlier. There are still some high statistics around like about dog bites in the UK, and dog legislation or dog control has been in the UK for about 150 years now. The 1999 Dangerous Dogs Act is the one that I remember most. You know, it was after more than one child unfortunately was killed by like a quote unquote dangerous dog breed, and there are still to this day certain breeds that are currently banned in the UK.
Okay.
So again, I'll put a source in here showing all the links to the UK dog legislations.
I come from a country where there are massive amount of stray cats and dogs. Although in some cities, district mayors and associations are trying to control reproduction by neutering them, which I'm all up for, unfortunately there are not enough resources to cover all of this. I really don't know how in France or in Europe they no longer have this issue. I mean, the stray cats and dogs, and I kind of have an hypothesis on this, but I'd rather not look it up. Now, Turkey is highly reputed for taking care of stray animals, especially cats. And I'm not gonna lie, after having traveled to places like French Polynesia, where they treat pets horribly, like I cried almost every single day when I was there, I'm gonna say in general, Turkish people are quite protective of stray animals.
Okay.
But incidents happen. There are very, very bad people out there. And these animals have much of a shorter lifespan in the streets. We domesticated them and now we abandon them. So it's really not fair. Anyway, I'm not going to go much into this, but yes, I grew up in a culture where stray animals are safe to be around and play with. And when I see French people talking about pets not being an equal member of the society, transmitting diseases or causing diseases, whatever, I'm sorry, I'm not accustomed to that culture. I spent my entire childhood literally playing all day long on the streets of the slums of Izmir, surrounded by stray cats and dogs without catching any disease from them. So I'm not like a disease denier here. Obviously these things can exist, but like animals do not intentionally spread these around. They're just out there trying to survive. And even before Neptune, before I became so sensitive about animal rights and all, I always thought that us as humans are the cause of this problem and not the animals.
I've seen you posting some stuff about like animals when you've been on holiday. You put some stuff on Instagram and you see me with like stray cats or stray dogs and things. But I was wondering, you know, I've been to countries where there's stray cats in the streets as well, and I was wondering if there's like this sort of Instagram romanticization of the lives of these animals on the streets. I was wondering like what would your take be on that?
Yeah, unfortunately, like, people who don't live in those countries, mostly white influencers, do that because they don't know the reality of those animals on the streets. Again, people are taking care of them, leaving bowls outside their cat houses and dog houses on the streets. You can see that. But there's nothing to romanticize about that because these animals, although they're being taken care of, are not immune to car accidents, not immune to people actually attacking them. It happens. Beating them up, it happens. And they sort of, like, if they cannot find food that is being provided that to them by the public, they just eat things out of the trash, which shortens their lifespan due to things they eat. They have internal injuries and stuff. So this is not to romanticize. They do, people do this now, I see, for Greece as well, because Greece also has that same issue. So no, like, no, animals should not be stray animals. That's like my point on it.
Do we have a quote today?
We do, but it's actually a tweet. If they hate cats, it's a red flag. Cats have boundaries. Cats require permission. Cats like to be touched affectionately, but on their own terms. Cats know vibes. Cats can never be fully domesticated. And cats are witches. It is known.
Yeah, I'm more of a dog person.
I knew you were gonna say that. Wait until you get a dog and become a, like, a fur baby mom, then you're gonna, like, you're not gonna say that. You're all the animals.
I will never be a fur baby mom. You'll never describe me as a fur baby mom.
It's gonna be on Instagram bio. You're gonna put it like dog mom.
I'm gonna set up an Instagram account for my dog, for Valerie Baudelaire.
Looking forward to it.
So thanks everyone for listening to this episode. I hope you found this informative and fun. We had fun doing this one. So yeah, as always, we're on Instagram. You can send us some emails, and thanks to people who've actually commented on our post before of them, a couple of episodes. We've gotten some nice comments from some listeners, and we'll be back 2 weeks today with our next episode. Thanks everyone.
Merci beaucoup.
Ciao.